Last Sunday, I spoke on Solomon 6, how love transformed her. Love makes her just like him. And being like him means she likes what he likes. She, you know, she loves what he loves and she rejects what he rejects. And in fact, love transformed her so much that she reflected the beauty of the king. You know, and she knew that she was accepted, approved, and loved by him. And then she found this thing, which is so important that you need to know. And that is, she found out that she was what? Unique. Special. He was unique and the only one to him. You know, the only one to him. And that's secure her heart. And that secure her to connection, transformation, uniqueness, and fruitfulness. In fact, you know, when you are so secure and you know that you are loved, transformation takes place. And the Bible tells us in chapter 6 that transformation took place like her, like a chariot. Chariot is fast, swift and fast. You know, and the reason why transformation took place in her so swift and so fast, because she has what kind of heart? A willing heart. You want God to transform you, have a willing heart. Be obedient. Listen to him and obey him. And she was now so transformed that there was no fear, no hang up in her life. In fact, she was free. She was strong. She was victorious. She was an overcomer that was able to rejoice, sing, pray, shout, and dance in the Lord. This is the power of transforming love. Have his love transform you. Has his love transformed you? We saw from the book of Song of Solomon, the circle of love. First, there is the initial love. The only reason why we love him is because he first loved us. He started this love in us and we respond to his love. But somehow in our love journey, we come to a place where we do struggle. Lord, do you love me? Why you love me? Am I deserving to be loved? Have you ever asked yourself this question? And then sometimes we struggle on the other area, not of why you love me, is Lord, what you're asking of me, the cost that I have to pay, God, is it too much to ask? Have you ever been to that place where your love struggle, your love falter? But somehow she recognized there is no other one like him, just like you. You recognize that no one can forgive your sin, no one can serve you, save you, no one loves you more like Jesus. So that love of him stirs you, and when it stirs you, love begins to grow. Growing love is very exciting. If you have been in love, and you have seen how your love has grown, it's very exciting. But growing love must come to a place called transforming love. Love must transform you. I love you so much that I'm willing to change. That's all it means. I love Jesus so much that I'm willing to let him change me. And today, in chapter 7, we talk about love mature. Love mature. And then on chapter 8, the final chapter is unquenchable love. And unquenchable love, Pastor Kara is going to speak. How long have you and Henry been married? 38 years. And still going strong. So I'm sure she's qualified to speak on unquenchable love. You know. Now, love mature. I like babies. How many of you like babies? Babies is beautiful. They are so cute, you know, they are so entertaining, and they are so sweet. But you cannot stay to be a baby forever. No mothers will be happy, you know, cleaning up and picking up the mess that is left by the baby or babysitting the baby all her life. Baby must what? Grow and mature. I'm sure as a mother in your frustration, you do look at the baby. Why don't you grow up? When are you going to grow up? not to grow up as a spoiled child, but to grow up mature. So is love. Love must grow and mature. In Song of Solomon, there are two moments in this 8th chapter where the king and her is alone. Just both of them. No one around. No other voice. No other distraction. Just both of them. The beloved and her. Being alone with one another. Not alone while hearts is set apart. While eyes is distracted. No. When they were alone, it is eyes to eyes, heart to heart. And one thing about being alone, you cannot pretend. There is no mask. So, just openness, truthfulness, and vulnerability. Oh, they say that when people are courting, they always put their best. Many things are hidden. But then as they get married and they get to live together, I never knew you were like that. But this is when the king and her were alone, just being open, being honest. I encourage you to find moments where you can shut the windows of high tech. Too much high tech, taking our time. The window of high tech, shut it. Close the door of the world, the housework. I know housework are important, you know. The children, the daily demands and routine, and just you and Jesus. Spend some time, just you and Jesus. Shut everything out. I encourage you to try it this week and see how your life alter and change and transform and quicken and strengthen. Just spending some time alone with Him. So there are only two incidents in Song of Solomon where she is alone. One is in chapter 4. She was alone with him in the garden. What a beautiful place to be in the garden. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and I walk with him and I talk with him. And when she was alone with him in the garden, he spoke. He looked at her and he spoke perfectly into her life and said, look, this is what I see you. You may not be there yet. This is what I see. I see the possibility. I see the potential that is locked up in you. So alone, he spoke in chapter 4 and said, all that you could be is in me. It's in the king. There is no limitation in her with the king empowerment. Now, in Song 7, again, alone with him. This time, the king looked at her and declare what he saw in her. In fact, this time he said, what I say about you in Song chapter 4, what I prophesied about you, I'm seeing you as the product of what I say. Is it not wonderful that God sees us more than what we think of ourselves? He said that I do have a future. I do have a plan for you. I know what is for you. And then now, in chapter 7, she said to her, everything that I said about you has now come to pass in your life. She has become who she was in him. What has happened? Her love for the king has matured. What is matured love? John the Beloved, when he wrote 1 John, he talked about the need for us to be matured in the Father's love. He talked about little children who is immature, they get tossed, they get pulled, you know, left and right by doctrine, by false teaching, insecure. Then you talk about young men who knows the Father's love, that is strong, that is able to overcome the evil one. that he talked about the Father. The Father who is matured in the Father love from the very beginning, but have never moved away. How they have known the Father's from the very beginning. God's desire is for each one of us here to mature, to grow in Jesus Christ, to mature in Him. So how do you know that a person is mature in love? Because many of us will measure maturity by the amount of knowledge a person has. Wow, look at that person. He's like a walking encyclopedia. Every question, you don't need to ask Google. Just ask him. He will answer you. So we think maturity equates knowledge. But in this chapter, it describes three evidence of mature love in her. And these three evidence must be found in us. The first evidence of mature love is her walk. Let's look from verse 1 to verse 5. How beautiful are your feet in sandal, O prince daughter. The curves of your thigh are like jewel, the work of the hand of a skillful woodsman. Your neighbor is grounded gobert. It lacks no branded wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat set about with lily. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of the gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are like the pool of Hashbon in the gates of Bedabin. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which look towards Damascus. Your head crowns you with Malkama, and the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by your treasure. Wow. He described her. And this time, he described her from where? From leg up. From bottom up. That's not the way to size a person. Do you realize that? When you look at a person, you don't look from below up. You always look from what? Top down to size that person. Why did the king look at her from feet to head? Because the king's description of her confirmed and affirmed the prophecy that he has spoken of her in Solomon 4 has taken place. And the reason why it has taken place is because of what? Her feet. Her feet. Her feet speak of her walk. How beautiful are your feet in sandal, O prince daughter. Walk in the Bible speaks of behavior, conduct, and living. And when you talk about walk in the Bible, it's always in the present tense and present continuous tense. Walk is not about yesterday, how you walk in the past. It's not about how you're going to walk tomorrow. It's about how you walk today and now. What she has become is because of her walk, her conduct, her behavior, and the way she lives. Most people talk and talk too much and do not walk the talk. Not her. She walked the talk. At the close of chapter 6, she was called the Shunammite. The word Shunammite means the peaceful one. Because Solomon is called the peaceful. So she has become like him, the peaceful one. The one who believes peace is important. So the scripture tells us that the king looked at her and said, your walk, your feet, wear the sandal, and it's called the shoe of peace, the sandal of peace, of good tidings, of good things to come. She was the bearer of peace, good news, and goodwill. This is what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 says. For your shoe, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepare. The Bible tells us it's important for us in our walk to put on the shoe of what? The shoe of peace. The shoe of the good news. The bearer of great tidings. So she wore on the shoe of peace. And then she walked with princely authority. Once she was so uncertain about who she was, she struggled with her insecurity. But now she walked as a prince, daughter, or princess. I want you to know in Christ, you walk as new creation, heir of God, and joint heir with Christ. You walk according to what Scripture says in Revelation chapter 1. You walk as a king, say amen, and as priest. You walk as son and daughter of the Almighty God. So when you walk to office tomorrow, walk with your up, say amen. When you walk to school tomorrow or to the university, walk with your head up because you are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's time you stop looking down, but to look up because I'm walking in. I'm carrying the presence of God, the authority of God. I like what Psalm 113 verse 7 and verse 8 say, that God lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. Ooh, that's quite a way. What a way. I don't know about you. I like bulk collection in this place. Bulk collection is when you take out all the things that you do not want. How many realize that? But there are some people who will go through your bulk collection and that which you do not want, that which you reject, they see some values in them. And this is what the Bible says, that God saw the needy from the garbage dump. Maybe you feel that yourself like a garbage. Maybe you feel yourself, I'm useless, I'm hopeless. What is it for me? What can I do? Yet in that place, the Bible says, that God set them among princes, even the prince of his own people. This one. The way she walked, the shoe of peace, she walked with priestly authority. Then she walked with God's strength. The calf of your thigh are like jewel. Why do you need your thigh? You need your thigh to walk, to jump, to push, you know, and to stand, to run. You need your thigh. And here is where you recognize one thing in the scripture. God dislocated Jacob's thigh. Because for a long time, he had been depending on whose strength? His own strength. God dislocated Jacob's thigh so that he stopped depending on his strength. That every time that he walked from then onward, he recognized that I'm walking not by my own strength. I'm walking by whose strength? By God's strength. Paul put it this way. God's grace and God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Matured love tells us to walk with the grace and the strength from Christ's empowerment. So when you look at her walk, where she is, you know, and who she, where she is and who she has become, definitely is not her own doing. It's not DIY, do it yourself. It's not by chance. It's not her hazard or by luck, but by the skillful hands of who? The skillful hand of a workman. Everyone else sitting here, we need to know God's hand, the skillful hand of God is working in your life, shaping you and molding you and making you and lifting you and empowering you. I like what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 say. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Jesus Christ. She walked with God's kind of life. Look at what the scriptures say. Your neighbor is rounded, Gobert. You know what is a neighbor? The thing that is hidden here. But before he became a neighbor, what was he? What cord was he? It was the umbilical cord. And what does a cord do? The cord supply food. The cord supply life. To who? To the child. You know? And that is when the mother and the child feels connected. But now, who is feeding her? It is God. God is feeding, God is nurturing, and God is giving His life. His life, His resurrected life from above. God is empowering you with God's kind of life. You are not supposed to live your old life, say amen. The Bible tells us that there is a higher life and there is what? A lower life. We are not to live the lower life like the world. We are to live the higher life. And what is this higher life? The Bible tells us this higher life is the life that comes from Jesus Christ that give you eternal life, that give you power to live for Him. So, now, she walked with God kinds of life. What does God kinds of life involve? What does it include? You come to this, that in God's kind of life, elects no branded wine. Your belly, foremost bean, is a heap of wheat set among lily. Two things, wine and bread, speaks of communion. Communion is the fellowship of what? Believers. And where do you have communion? Among who? Among lilies. Among God's children, we gather together to remember the Lord's sacrifice. It's in communion you are reminded what He did, what He is doing, and what is to come. At the table, you don't take communion by yourself. You take your communion with, and we are now believers. You take the communion among lilies because in taking communion, you are sharing in the life of Christ, and you're sharing in the life of the body of Christ. Can you see how important communion is? That's why when we take communion, we got to make sure we take it in a worthy manner. God, I'm living my life to please You. That's why when we take communion, we don't take it with anger, with unforgiveness over another lily in the midst of us. Can you see the importance of it? God's kind of life. Then she lived with balanced life. For your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. We see from the Bible, the two breasts speaks of faith and love. They are balanced, not just for herself, but for others. James put it this way, show your faith with your act of love. Balance, I have faith in God, but I also have what? Love for others. The balance. She walked with submission. Your neck is like an ivory tower. She didn't have stiff neck. The problem with the Israelites, they were stiff neck. I know, you know, what is it like to have stiff neck? Have you ever got a stiff neck before? Cannot turn, cannot. Neither does she have a bound neck. A bound neck is because the change or slavery, which is very heavy, is on the neck. So the weight has put the head down and you're always looking down. But she has a neck of an ivory tower, a neck of submission and obedience. How do you get ivory? You get ivory by killing the animal. The animals must die in order for you to have an ivory. Try to get an ivory of an elephant while you're still alive. Try. If you can get it, tell me how to do it. You can only get it when it's dead. So what does it mean? It means this. Submitting is dead to self. That God's will is done. And submission brings victory. early on, twice in Song of Solomon, the king said, "You have dove eye, the eyes of a dove." Here, the king said, "Your eyes is like a pool in Hashbon, by the gate of Ben-Debin." Your eyes is like a pool of Hashbon. What is Hashbon? The word Hashbon means stronghold. And this was the city, the capital of Sihon, the king of the Amorite, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. It has two pools that supply water to this stronghold. It was unconquerable, impenetrable. But the Israelites defeated and took the city. Once she had dove eye, there was fixed and single vision. Now God, the king said, "Your eyes is now an eyes that is empowered to see victory in God. That your eyes see all things are possible with God." Do you know that when a person is defeated, when a person gives up, you look at their what? Look at their eye. Their eye can tell you that they really find it is hopeless. But now the king is saying, "Look, I see your eye. Your eyes say that there is vision of victory, that there is victory in God, that there is enlargement in God." And it's because her victory comes from her what? Her submission. Personal victory, corporate victory, comes from submission to God. And victory brings enlargement. The word Bedabin means daughter of multitude. One person, one seed, dying to sell, can produce many fruits. Her submission will bring blessing to many. Submission also bring what? Discernment. Discernment. Your nose. This is the first time her nose is mentioned. Nose speak of discernment. She can discern time and season. That's what mature people can do. They know the time and the season. They know how to discern good and evil. They know how to discern. And her discernment increased with her submission to the Father's will. So her discernment is like a tower of Lebanon. Finally, how did she walk? She walked with the same mind as the king. Your head crown with Malkama, and the hair of your head is like purple. Now she walked with the same mind of the king. She walked in line with the king. No longer is there a difference of thinking. Same mind with the king brings Malkamun. What is Malkamun? It means fruitful place. Same mind with the king produce kingly authority. The hair of your head is like purple. And so the king was so captured by her, the king was so captivated by her, that the king's heart went out for her. Wow. What a beautiful. The king is held captive by her treasure. And one thing about a woman with long hair. Have you noticed that when you watch advertisement or shampoo, they always have long hair, they turn their hair. There's one thing about long hair. That's what she was. Her hair was long and it captured the king's heart. This is her walk. Today, walk as a peacemaker. Whenever possible, seek for peace. Walk with God's grace and God's strength. Walk with God's kind of life, the higher life, not the lower life. Walk in balance with working faith and loving action. Walk in submission to Him and walk with the same mind of Christ. This is the evidence of mature love. The second evidence of mature love is her mature love. Look at verse 6 to verse 9. How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delight. This status of yours is like a palm tree, and your breast like its castor. I say, I will go up the palm tree. I will take hold of its branches. Now, let your breast be like a castor of vine, the fragrance of your breath like apple, and the roof of your mouth like the best wine, moving gently the lips of the sleeper. Here, the king enjoys her. How fair and how pleasant you are. Her love, consecration, and submission captured and captivate his heart. And now he is delighted in her. What a place to be the only one in the king's eye. This is what the Bible says in creation. You are the apex of creation. Man created in his image. No other being or creation can please or satisfy the creator heart than your love, worship, consecration, and submission to him. You are a delight to him. You are pleasant and you are beautiful before Christ's eyes. Live to bring delight to Christ's heart. So, her matured love. How do you see her matured love? Matured love is fullness. This status of yours is like a palm tree. Her fullness is like a palm tree, tall and straight, deep-rooted and well-grounded. Psalm 92, verse 12 to verse 14 tell us, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall bear fruits in all age. In all age. Many of us have passed 60. Tell yourself, I'm still bearing fruit. Say amen. I'm not going to stop bearing fruit till I die. I'm still going to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, the righteous, those that are upright, those who stand tall with him, those that are grounded in him, those that are rooted in him, in his love. That's why Paul said that you may know the depth of his love, the height of his love, the width of his love, that when you are so bound into his love, his matured love, then you are like a palm tree bearing fruits in old age. Bad weather, storm of life, wind of adversity cannot move you or shake you, say amen. You are steadfast on the palm tree and you are drawing what? You are drawing water from Christ and his word. Nothing stops you from bearing fruits. Mature love is fullness. Walking not as children, more than a young man who overcome the evil one, walking as fathers who know his love from the beginning and has never wavered of God's love. Mature love serves others, and your breast like its castor. She moved from herself to others. This is mature love. Not just about yourself, your family, and your little world. Sometimes we can be caught that way. How many of you realize that? Come on, we can be all caught that way. I told you that when I was young, I used to go to temple with my mother. I was also very religious and going to temple with her all the time. I always hear my mother pray. Bless my husband. Look after my husband. Bless my children. They're having examination. Help them to score high. You know, always about who? Focusing on her and her family. Do you know if we can become like that as Christian? Come on. How many realize that? We can also become like that. Can I encourage you? Mature love is not just about you. It's also about who? about others. Your faith and love for Christ must cause you to serve others. Don't waste your faith and love. Use it to meet the needs of others. Mature love keep growing. The king told her, I will go up to the palm tree. I'm the palm tree. The king said, I'm going to go up to the palm tree. And I will take hold of its branches. Wow. The king said, I'm going to the palm tree. I'm calling you to the next level, to the next touch, to the next working of his skillful hand, because he wants to take hold of the branches. When he takes hold of the branches, he is like the gardener that prunes the branch so that it's able to bear fruits and more fruits. When he takes hold of the branches, the palm branch is the symbol of victory and is used for joyful celebration. When he takes hold of you, your life will become more fruitful. Say amen. When he takes hold of you, your life will experience victory and your life will rejoice in him, because his victory is your victory and you can celebrate with joy the victory that belongs to you. Mature love is becoming like the king. It feeds, it inspires, and it influences others for him. Now let your breasts be like castor of vine, the fragrance of your apple, your breath like apple. May I encourage you, keep growing in mature love. It's a journey of a day, a step, a defined moment, a God moment in your life. Keep growing. The danger, the warning light, the alarm light is to think you have arrived. When you think that you have arrived, you relax, you fold your hand, you take it easy, and what happened the next moment? You slumber. And not far from there, you fall asleep. Come on, tell yourself this with me. Say this with me. I have not arrived. Say this with me. I have not arrived. Not arrived yet. I'm still learning and growing in mature love. You have not arrived. Keep on growing. Keep on growing. Mature love changes just language. And the roof of your mouth is like sweet wine, moving gently the lips of the sleeper. What comes out of her mouth is not just wine, but is best wine. The best wine come out of her mouth, even able to stir the lips of those that are sleeping. Maybe you have spent too much time speaking negative things over your life. I have only two words for you. Two simple words. Stop it! I have to tell myself that also. I have to tell myself that looking at the mirror to stop it. Because I'm telling you, some of us, when we keep on talking negative things about our own life, we have become the broken tape recorder going over and over and over again. Time to change your language with the best wine. Say amen. The best wine is not for others. It must first be drink by you. The best wine of sweetness and life. You change your language, you change your destiny. Your language can inspire and influence you and others for good. Mature love is not by chance. It is hard work. It is hard work. Christ work, you cooperate. Christ speak, you obey. Christ lead, you follow. Christ is returning for what? Mature children. Mature children. Mature love must flow from you to others. Are you growing and flowing in mature love? Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 says, that your love may abound more and what? And more. Keep on growing in mature love. Lastly, the evidence of her mature love is her service. Her service. Let's look at verse 10 to verse 13. I am my beloved, and his desire is towards me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth to the field. Let us launch in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyard. Let us see if the vine has bud, whether the grape blossom are open and the pomegranate are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrake give off a fragrance, and at our gate are pleasant fruits, all manner new and old, which I lay up for you, my beloved. She is the one who is responding from verse 10 to verse 13. She's the one that is responding to the king. Mature love is not just about the king and her. It must flow to others. You are loved to love others. Blessed to bless others. Now it's time for her to serve others with mature love. Without mature love, you serve wanting return. You seek for personal glory or the praise of man. But now you are securely, serving securely in Christ's love, where you are able to say, I am my beloved and his desire towards me. And his desire is towards me. The question to you this morning is not how you feel or what you may gain or what service you may give to the king. The question to you as a believer is this. Is God desiring you? Are you desirable to him? I know couples, after they marry, sometimes they don't care how they look. I'm really hooked, married. Why does it bother? But wisdom tells you, you always groom yourself well so you are being desired by your spouse. And this is the question that you have to ask yourself. Does God desire me? Do I live a life that he desires me? That when he sees me, he is pleased. When he sees me, he's proud of me. When he sees me, his thumb is up. When he sees me, he rejoices in seeing me. Not when he sees me, oh, not you. Don't be like the church in Revelation. Do you see it? Where Christ spit them out of his mouth. Her service. She served with him. Four times she said, let us. Let us go. Let us lodge. Let us get up. Let us see. You are never called to serve by yourself. To serve with your own strength. To serve the way you want. You are called to serve with who? With him, like how Jesus did. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. You go where he leads you. You do what he calls you to do. You go to the field that is white and ready for harvest, and you lodge in the villages. All right, God, let's go and lodge in the villages. Look in the gospel. Jesus went from villages to villages. What does it mean? villages speak of your life with Christ is a pilgrim journey. Maybe we have forgotten that we are stranger and pilgrim on this earth. This world is not your home. You are just passing through. Don't become too comfortable that you plan to stay here permanently. You are just on transit. Make sure you don't miss the plane. And she served industriously. Let us get up early to the vineyard. It was a common practice for king and citizen to get up early and dress before dawn. Important business were dealt in an early hour. And usually in those days, women gets up earlier than men. Amen! Don't you like it? Henry, you wake up and the breakfast is ready. Would you like it, John? But in those days, women do get up earlier than men. And I think most wives does get up earlier than men, you know. And Jesus got up early to pray. The four let us is follow with action. Action, go, lodge, get up, and see. That means what? She was industrious. She was not lazy. She was not lazy. She was industrious. Laziness is never a kingdom culture. I like what a children's church teacher taught this to her class. It's good to send your children to children's church. She said that there are at least six kinds of bones. Wishing bone. Those who wish someone else would do all the work. Then there is the jawbone. Those who do all the talking, but little else. Then there is the knuckle bone. Those who knock everything that anyone else tried to do. Then there are the lazy bone. Those who show up as the work finished. Any more thing can I do? Can I help? Then there is the busy bone. Those that belongs, but always tie up on their own needs. Then there is the backbone. Those who get under the load and do the work that is necessary to get the job done. She was industrious. She was an industrial backbone. Are you? What's the difference? What is the difference between an industrious and a lazy bone? What's the difference? Let me tell you the difference. It is the use of time. It is the use of time. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 say, redeem the time, buy time, make the most of every opportunity. Make most of the time. And may I tell you, you don't have all the time. You may think so. I don't know about this year, but this year really was very fast. I don't know how many of you feel that this year is like, you know, all about my same age. I mean, it's really fast. You don't have all the time. You may think so. And the enemy always whispered to you, there is a tomorrow. Don't worry. Don't be in the rush. There is a lot of time left. You don't have. You only have limited time to do what God has called and put you on this earth to do. No more excuses, delay, or procrastination. Industriously do it now. How did she serve? She served by loving and investing in others. Let us see if the vine has budded, whether the grapes bosom are open and the pomegranate are in bloom. The vine is the church, other believer, the family of God, the ladies. She loves and invests in them. And now she's checking out their progress. Are they budding? Are they blooming? Are they blossoming? Once in her immature love, She was caught up and only interested about I, me, and I. But now mature love transformed her to we. We. Her heart now is they win, she win. They lose, she loses. Finally, let me give you two reasons why she served. Her first reason is her love for the king. Verse 12, there I will give you my love. She did not serve to win him. She did not serve to substitute for his presence. But she served. A joyful expression of her total commitment to her. Her mature love for him. I serve. It's where I show and give an expression of my love for him. The second reason why she served is a way of offering her life back to the king. Verse 13, which I lay up for you, my beloved. Here is what her heart cried. I serve because I love the king. I serve because I've laid my life for the king. I'm living my life just for him, not for myself. Here is what she said. Here am I. Send me. Use me. She offered herself to the king. The man read, give off a fragrance. And our gates are pleasant fruits, all manner, old and new. God, I'm giving my life to you as a service. And the word man read is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 30, verse 14 to verse 29. It was a battle between Rachel and Leah. Both wants to win the heart of Jacob. But Rachel's womb was closed. She was barren. And she desired children. So what did she say? She told the servant, get me married as many as possible. Let me eat them. It's a kind of fruits that overcome barrenness of a womb. And of course, God opened her womb and she bore Joseph and Benjamin, the joy of Jacob. When you lay down your life to serve the king with his skillful hand will come upon you and you will become productive. You will become that fruitful tree, that fruitful palm tree, not barren but productive, because the king's skillful hand is able to prune you that you are able to bear pleasant fruits, both new and old. In each one of us, inside here, Matthew chapter 13, verse 52 say, in each one of us inside here is the treasure house of both what? New and old. Do you hold so tight to the old and could not embrace the new? Some people, they take the new and throw out the old. You need both new and old. We cannot throw away tradition. Traditions are important. I know the world is changing and the church is trying to become more and more relevant. But there are certain things we cannot throw out, and that is the preaching of the word, worship, fellowship of the saint. These are things, even how fanciful we can replace them with entertainment, changing the church every Sunday to a 10-course meal. It will attract people. Now, I told one pastor one day, I said, you know, what I would like to do? He said, what do you like to do? I said, I'd like to get a big ship
He said, yeah, what do you want to do with the big ship? Well, every Sunday, the big ship will be at Hillary Boat Harbor. Come to church on the boat, and I will sail for 2 hours. Capture audience. What about if they don't behave? I'll throw them overboard. You know, I mean, it may attract people. It may attract people. It may be put in the newspaper. For the month of December, Christmas joy, everyone that comes to the church, put your name into the lucky draw. There will be 10 cars to be given away. I tell you, people will come. But that's not what. There are certain things about the church that we cannot compromise. Say amen. We need to hold on, not just for ourselves. We need to hold on for the next generation. So, new and old. The old needs constant revising and renewing, but the new should regularly be an evidence. Mature love knows how to balance new and old. Live with the new and old. Work with the new and old. And do your best for Christ. Mature love. Her walk, her love, and her service. Do you have these three? Is your love for Christ maturing? Or have matured? Mature love starts with what? With your walk. Followed by your growing love for Him and your service to the King. Here is the end of chapter 7. And I am looking forward to Pastor Kara preaching chapter 8, Unquenchable Love. Why don't we pray? Has not diminished, but has grown and matured. Stay fast in Him. Mature love is first seen in your walk. How you live, how you behave, how you conduct yourself.